Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In our text for this morning, we read a psalm which shows the Lord as our refuge. It shows how the Lord protects his people from their enemies and how he then exalts his own oppressed. And our author, King David, was certainly no foreigner to fleeing from enemies and then being exalted in the Lord since he is our refuge. But this morning, we're actually going to be focusing on verses 7 through 9. These three verses actually give us a plea for grace from God. It reads, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek my face. Your face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not your face from me." What particularly jumps out in this passage is where David's heart tells him to seek God's face. And David faithfully responds with, "Your face, Lord, will I seek." So seeking the Lord's face, have you ever really thought about how much in our own daily lives we seek the faces of others? Or in other words, we seek their presence. When there is something we need, we look to the face for someone who can take care of it. If there's maybe a dispute between our neighbor, we seek a lawyer who can give us justice. When we're concerned about our physical health, we seek a physician who can care for us. Maybe if we're looking for counsel or advice, we seek out a pastor or we seek out a counselor. Well, I can assure you, though, that seminarians indeed seek out their pastors, especially when they need help with their sermons. But even better, as an added convenience of living in the 21st century, we can seek out each other's faces without actually having to be physically present. We have these great gifts called smartphones. We have these great gifts called iPads, tablets, computers, Skype. Also, we can see each other's faces without having to be together. Think about it. Grandma and grandpa can Skype in to their children and their grandchildren halfway across the country and see each other and everything that's going on. And I understand, kids, if you don't realize this, because about 15 years ago, this kind of technology was not readily available. But regardless, whether we realize it or not, humans seem to rely on the faces for others for the needs of their daily lives. But how about we switch it around and look the other way? What if we realize that we cannot obtain or seek that missing face which serves to the link for our satisfaction? What if we can't find a lawyer to give us justice, a doctor who can't cure us? What if we don't have a counselor or a pastor to give us advice? Does this mean that we can no longer enjoy our life as it is? But this is where verses 7 through 9 come into play, where David gives us the wisest counsel for a Christian. He says to have his heart seek out the Lord's face. And why? Because David knows who is in charge, and he knows who our only true refuge is in times of trouble. So just look at David's life. Do you think that he ever felt oppressed by others? Did he not call upon the Lord in verses 11 and 12 to deliver him from those who oppress him? Didn't whole armies come after him? The whole army of Israel pursued him when Saul was seeking to take his life. David had to wait 10 years between, at least 10 years, between being anointed king and actually receiving the throne of Israel. And even further, his own son attempted to dethrone him and drove him out of Jerusalem to seize the kingship. Of course, David knows what disappointment feels like. And in such times, when we feel that kind of disappointment, David calls us to seek the face of our God. So here's my question to all of you for this morning. How often do we seek the Lord's face in times of trouble? Do we instead turn to another face before his? When we lose our job, for example, will we first seek out the face of our family for comfort rather than calling upon the Lord? Do we seek out the face of a doctor first before we seek getting help? Well, when we seek getting help before seeking out God's. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't seek out these other people. They're put in our lives there to help us. But we need to seek God first, since he knows what we need most. And even more so, don't we, even when things are going well and things are great, don't we still seek out other people's faces first? David, likewise, is no stranger to this. For he sought out the face of Bathsheba when things were actually quite prosperous and things were good. And we all know how that turned out. But nevertheless, in other words, we still, when we place our trust in the face of someone above God to meet a desire, we commit idolatry. We place our happiness and desires in the faces of others before God. And worse, no face apart from God can truly promise to fulfill our needs and our desires. And when that face fails, we begin to doubt God's own presence in our lives. So with this in mind, it should be quite clear that seeking the faces of those other than God cannot promise the fulfillment of our desires. They cannot serve as a true refuge in times of trouble. But Chris, you may say, I get it. You want us to seek the Lord's face, but it is so hard sometimes to do that. And you're right. It is really hard sometimes to go and pursue God. There are things we want here and now, and sometimes we just don't get them all the time. We want our way, and God may not choose to give us our way. There's just so much uncertainty in seeking out our Lord. But that's exactly it. God does not promise in Scripture that he will fulfill all of our desires. He doesn't always promise a quick way out or some quick, easy solution so that our problems are solved. Sometimes there's pain. Sometimes there's patience. Sometimes there's even heartache. So then, what did God promise in Scripture? He promised you his own face. He promised you a face which you can see. He promised you the face of his Son, Jesus. And this face that he gave us is the one that continually seeks after us. And this Jesus, he had a face that looked very much like ours. It was a face that walked this earth 2,000 years ago. It was a face that breathed the same air, saw the same sun rise and set. And what's more, the face of Jesus had all of you in mind. This face was tempted for you. It lived for you. It suffered for you. It died for you. And best, it rose for you. It's the face who sees you in love. It's the face that the Father sees when looking at our broken faces. It's the face that gives you salvation. And this is exactly why we call upon the Lord as for our refuge. By seeking his face, he knows our needs and how graciously he provides them. In truth, if you think about it, we only know what we want, but the Lord knows what we need. And even if these needs don't resemble our desires, he nevertheless knows what's best for all of us. So then, as seeking the Lord's face, do we then stop seeking the faces of others in our lives who can help us day to day? Absolutely not. For God uses our doctors, our counselors, pastors, lawyers to work his gracious will. The difference is that we don't place our full trust in them to seek fulfillment. Only the Lord can fulfill these desires. As fallen sinners, of course, we find it much easier to seek the faces of others than to seek the face of God. But God is aware of this, and so he sent the face of his only Son, the face which continues to seek after you, the face you can see, the face of your salvation. So then, what does it look like to seek the face of God? It means we take everything we have, everything we desire, everything that concerns us, and we bring it to the Lord in prayer. It means that we daily search his word in Scripture. It means to trust all things to the face of the one who gives us our salvation. It means for us, in the words of St. Augustine, to strive toward the unchangeable form of life, that is God, and hold fast to it wholeheartedly. And the Lord, whose face was put on us in baptism, continues to shine in us as he completes his good work in us, helping us to seek his face. So with this understanding of the face of God, listen to the words at the end of the liturgy, which Pastor Mark is going to speak in the benediction. He will say that the Lord bless and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his favor and give you his peace. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.